First Chronicles chapter 28, verse 11. I'll tell you the context is David's charge to Solomon regarding the temple that Solomon built. David wanted to build it. God said, I won't let you do it. You've shed too much blood. So he made preparation for it. And Solomon's the one that's going to build it. And David is telling him in this passage about it. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things, also for the courses of the priests and the Levites and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord and for all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord. He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold and for their lamps of gold by weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread for every table and likewise silver for the tables of silver. And pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups. And for the golden basins, he gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot, of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. So he then gives this here and talks about all the stuff that he has given. And then it also comes out in the next chapter. We'll see a few things as we go into the message. Of that other people got involved in giving for this temple construction as well. So tonight, before we pray, what we're going to be talking about is God's way of building his temple. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. We're very glad to be here tonight, and I'm so thankful to hear the praises of the things that you have done, making provision as people have moved, making provision for a good place for a young lady to live, a healthy pregnancy and delivery, healthy baby, completion of studies, other testimonies that we've heard tonight, Father. We're very, very thankful for all that you've been doing and for the answers to prayers. Look forward tonight to praying and being able to talk to you about other things that are of concern to us, Father, knowing that when we speak with you, you always answer and you always answer in the best way. Tonight we pray for the work that's being done with the Bible clubs, for the teenagers in their class, and with us here, Father, we pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to get a real good understanding of some simple truths that are contained in this text. We ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in this passage, as David is giving this charge to Solomon, we see three things concerning God's way of building his temple. What you're reading is David's communication to Solomon concerning the temple that was referred to as Solomon's temple, or the temple that he built in Jerusalem after David passed away. And these things are important to us, you know, because you're talking about, well, why should we be concerned about how God told Solomon to build this temple, or how God told David to tell Solomon to build this temple? Why should we be concerned about that? Because it sets a pattern for us in the New Testament. Before we get deeper into this text, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You'll be reminded in this passage of something that you're probably already familiar with, because we've seen it a few times in the last couple of years. But Ephesians chapter 2, begin with me in verse 19. Ephesians 2:19, "Now therefore ye," that's those of us who are saved, "now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So the pattern that we're seeing here in the Old Testament then, or this passage that we're reading in the Old Testament then, becomes a type for us of what God is doing in the construction of his holy temple, which we are. And so it's interesting to then see three things that we read in our text that give us a clue of God, how God instructed David to instruct Solomon to build that temple, so that we can see how God wants his temple built in the New Testament. And the first thing that we notice right away, beginning back there in verse 11, is God provides the pattern. This is God's building. David said that he wanted to build a house for the Lord. Nathan said, "You just do all that's in your heart." And the Lord came to Nathan and said, "No, you need to go back and tell him, no, not going to do what's in your heart. You're going to do what's in my heart." And Nathan said to David, "No, you can't build that. You've shed too much blood, but we're going to let your son build that." And then God gave David the pattern. Look again in verse 11, 12, and 13. "Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch, the houses, the treasuries, the upper chambers, the inner parlors, the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern," in verse 12, "of all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts, of the chambers, of the treasuries, and the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also, not just for the building, but for how work is done in the building, for the courses of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of God." So the building and all of it, the people that work in it, the priests that worship in it, the Levites that serve in it. And notice verse 19, "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." In other words, God said, "As long as we're going to do this, we're going to do it my way. And here's the pattern." And he gave it to him in writing so there'd be no misunderstanding about it. That is quite an intervention by God. But it says that God's very particular about how things are done in that building, how things are built in that building. It's a very specific way, specific measurements, specific materials, very specific how he wants that thing built. Every detail was covered, right down to the courses of the priests and the Levites. So likewise, you can't imagine that God would give Solomon such a detail through David and then give us no detail how he wanted the temple built in the New Testament. Doesn't make sense at all. God had a very specific pattern for the way things he wanted done in the Old Testament. Likewise, God has a very specific pattern, a written pattern, in the building of his temple in the New Testament. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It just turns out that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is the passage of Scripture that we studied in Sunday school this past Sunday. If you weren't with us in Sunday school and you're interested in it, there's a lesson on this entire chapter. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 11. Paul is writing, he said, I'm the wise master builder. I laid the foundation for this building, this temple of God. Verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, for instance, if a church says, our church is founded on Peter, who is the rock, you got the wrong business. You see, the wrong pattern. That's not the pattern. The pattern is you lay the foundation on Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. In other words, God doesn't want the wrong kind of building material in his temple. Not going to allow for that. And he doesn't want a temple built on the wrong foundation. And to make sure that it's the right building material, he sets the thing on fire at the judgment seat of Christ. The gold, silver, and precious stone obviously survive the fire. The wood, hay, and stubble don't. And when we did the lesson in Sunday school, the gold, silver, and precious stone turn out to be God's words, God's wisdom, God's power, God's, you see, stuff. All that from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The wood, hay, and stubble turns out to be man's wisdom and man's methods and man's programs. God said, I don't need my building built with your stuff. I need it built with my stuff. Notice verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God? That's what he's talking about. That building is the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And he destroyed Ananias and Sapphira for lying about that offering, and he was going to destroy that young man for fornicating with his father's wife. And he's going to destroy the work of men that was used to try to build a building that did not follow his pattern. That's what he said. God wants his building built his way, and his way is very clear. Now, I'm just going to give you three little things. There are other things, and we'll probably talk about these in another message at another time. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, God's building is built by preaching the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 2. Paul said, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's Paul to the Galatians. That's Paul to the Ephesians. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You go through and read Paul's writings. He's very specific. I am crucified with Christ. He talks about the cross of Christ a great deal in Galatians, for instance. And so he says, that's what I'm doing. I am preaching the gospel. He said, God sent me, you know, when he's introducing this letter to the Corinthians, notice what he says in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 17. He says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That's God's building program right there. You know? So, look at chapter 3, which is where we were, and look at verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So he says, you know, we're nothing. This ministry stuff is not about us. This ministry stuff is about God. And God's program is He'll use men. Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. This building is built by God on the preaching of the gospel. Romans chapter 10. Verses 13 and 14. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? That's God's method. And so for men to come in and say, we're going to help God out and we're going to build this way, we are going to have an aerobics class in our church. And this is how we're going to build. Come on. You know, that's the kind of stuff that's going on. And I saw a preacher one time. I was working out at the athletic club, and he told me, oh yeah, I pastor such and such a church. He said, our band is better than the one over at, back in that days, it was Bay Area. Our band is better than theirs. And that's how God builds the temple right there, right? With that rock and roll band. See the deal? That's not God's plan. All right, he builds it by the preaching of the gospel. And then, notice, that gets people into the building. Ephesians chapter 4, once they're in the building, then what do they do? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So all that's going on when a person gets saved, he says, let's get them into the church, let's get them under pastors and teachers, and let's help them so that they are not children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so God builds this body, and then what happens is the members then begin to make these contributions to each other in ways that strengthen and edify and build this temple, this body, into the full stature of Christ. That's God's plan. And then, 2 Timothy 2:2, so he does it by preaching the gospel, then he builds them by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, which is what we're doing tonight. And then 2 Timothy 2:2, you got to have men that can continue on in the work. So he says in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. And what do? Who shall be able to teach others also? You know, we made a mistake early in the ministry by giving a man a job and hoping that by doing that he would become faithful. That's not what the pattern is. Pattern is you wait till you know you got a faithful man, and then you teach him with the intent that what he learns he can use to teach others also. And that continues to build that temple. Now, there's a lot more that goes with this, but simply you can see people get in through the preaching of the gospel. They get established and grow by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and the work continues by through faithful men who are taught to be able to teach others also. What a plan. What a plan. And you know, that's very clear, very simple, but God said, follow that pattern. That pattern works. So that's what we intend to do. And then, you know, what the Lord does is he shows you from time to time, I'll just digress on this, how he wants that to continue. It was very clear as the way developed that for instance, Brian, who was a faithful man, was taught in this ministry, is now pastoring a church. It is very clear when a man came and introduced us to Port Ministry that God wanted us to have one of those. I can't go through how clear God made that, but it was unmistakable that that's what he wanted to do. The thing is, we didn't have the man to do it. I looked around and said, how are we going to do that? And I mean, just literally, that happened in October, I think, when Ken Craich was here. It was by February that Randy was on and going to classes to prepare for all that. And today we have an active Port Ministry, and just about every Wednesday you hear of yet another soul being brought to Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. What a pattern. You just can't miss it. And so, you know what? If you pray, and I know you do for this ministry, you know what? Pray this. Pray that if there are other areas in which God wants us to minister as a church, that He will make the pattern plain. That we'll know exactly what it is that He wants us to do, and then He'll show us who it is that He is raising up to carry on that work so that we can devote our time into that work that God wants us to do in building His temple. That's a fabulous prayer. Show us what it is and who it is. That's what God did for David. And then we'll do that. The radio ministry, same kind of deal. That's something that God did, and then with the internet and that exposure that we've been given, that's a ministry that's very unique to this church. Most pastors that I know say, oh, I'd like to have a radio broadcast. I said, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't want to devote yourself every day to the production of that much, you know, stuff to be able to put out. It's not an easy thing to do. But we know, listen, that's what God wanted us to do. And every once in a while He has other pastors that do the same thing. Just get pointing out, those are lasting ministries of the church because those are patterns that God established. Tony going to the nursing home and some of y'all going to help there. Man, those folks need the ministry. God uses that. So you pray that. Pray, God, show our pastor what it is that if there's anything else you want us to do that we're not doing, what it is you want us to do and with whom you want to get that done so we can follow the pattern. All right, and then go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Notice this. You just read through these things and you're like, okay, well, I got that reading done. There's good stuff in these scriptures. Notice here in verse 14 to 18, David said, he gave of gold by weight for the things of gold, instruments of all manner of service, silver for all instruments of silver by weight, for the instruments of every kind of service. And then he talks about the candlesticks and the tables of showbread and the flesh hooks in verse 17 and the bowls and the cups and the basins in verse 18, the altar of incense and the chariot of the cherubims. And he even talks about the Ark of the Covenant. And you look at all that, and that's just what David did. That's just what David did. And then look at verse 6 of chapter 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 6. The chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the kings, offered willingly, gave for the service of the house of God, gold, 5,000 talents, 10,000 drams of silver, and so forth and so on. And verse 8, they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord. Then the people rejoiced in verse 9, for that they offered willingly because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So from verses 6 to 9 there, we see that not only did David make provision, but that the rest of the folks did as well. Those who offered willingly. What a tremendous thing. All right. So in the building of this temple, God provides the pattern, and God provides the provision. God says, here's all the stuff we're going to need. Let's build this building. God makes provision in the same way that David and these people gave for the temple. You say, well, if God did it, how does he get that provision for the work that he needs to do in building his temple? Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse 11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Watch it. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. God says, I got something I want to do, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it to you so you can give it to me. That's strange. You say, is that really how it works? Really how it works. It's really how it works. It's exactly how he does it. Notice the pattern. This, you know, we're talking about pattern, we're talking about provision. Go with me to the New Testament. I'll show you two perfect examples of this. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. God puts it in your hand so you can put it in God's hand. And then, you know what he does? He said, I'll let you lay that up as treasure in heaven. God's something else. Here, you take it. Now give it back to me. Okay, you just got treasure in heaven, and I'm going to do something with this and let you have fruit that's born to your account. Like, are you serious? That's how he does it. All right, Luke chapter 6, look at verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. What are the next two words? Or three words. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So he says, give, and then he says, when you do that, shall men give into your bosom? That's an amazing thing. It's like you're a conduit. And he says, here, I'll give you some, let that go through you. And then when you have something, it'll go through somebody else and take care of the need. Do you know that it is not by accident that everything that you see around this property is paid for? You know how that happened? God did that, and he did that through people that he blessed to take care of those responsibilities. When we pray for missionaries and we pray for pastors in churches, you know what one of my constant prayers is? God, make the provision and give them the wisdom to work within your provision so they don't go beyond the provision and do more than you wanted done in your building by that church. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 15. Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, and notice what he says. Now, Philippians 4:15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Next verse, for my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see what I'm talking about? He says, you're communicating with me, but God's supplying all your need. This stuff that you're doing comes from God. Now, we say from time to time, thank the Lord, everything you see here, this property, everything's paid for, and there's a certain amount of money that was spent on all of this, okay? But may I tell you something? You've put more on the mission field than you put into your own property. This church. You know what that is? That's God supplying the need of other people who are doing the same thing that you're doing here. There's 300 and how many people that were in church on Easter? And of course, if a pastor's going to brag about how good the church is doing, he waits until Easter Sunday, right, to say, oh, yeah, baptized a lot of people, and some folks saved, there's 340 people here. Probably the regular Sunday is, you know, a couple hundred, but we want to tell you we started with 7 and now we have 341. Don't go to Papua New Guinea and hope to find that many people there if you show up in September. Might be a little lighter crowd. But here's the point. He's there because God called him. He's the preacher God sent. And then he said, okay, now I want you guys to stick some money in his pocket so his bills will be paid over there. That's my provision. You know what? We pray constantly when the men, Randy, Tony, and I get together in the office here and we're praying. God, please, show us who it is that you want us to have in. And once they come, God, show us who it is that you would have us to support, how much you want us to support them, and if they have any special needs, how much to give. Listen, that we may do our part. That's God's provision. And he's using you to do that. Boy, what a joy. I don't know how it's doing with you. I get excited about that. You mean to tell me that you're allowing us to be involved in your building by simply putting a little money out there to help these guys? That's exactly what I mean. And that's fruit to your account and treasure in heaven. That's an awesome thing. Wow. Only God could think of a thing like that. And then one more deal. one more deal. God provides the pattern. God provides the provision. And then look at verses 20 and 21 in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed." You know, he's always having to tell these guys, "I'm getting ready to send you out on something that's a pretty big deal, but don't you worry about it." Joshua, I know you were Moses' minister the whole time. Okay, well, I want you to lead these folks into the land of Canaan. And he's probably like, "But did you see how these guys have been conducting themselves for the last 40 years? He says, "Be not dismayed, be not afraid. I'm with you." He tells Solomon the same thing. "Be strong, of good courage, do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee." That's enough. It really is enough. "He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests, number one, and the Levites, number two, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, three, for any manner of service. Also the princes, four, and all the people, five, will be holy at thy commandment." God provides the pattern, God provides the provision, and God provides the people. That's God's way of building. All the people were available to help in the construction of the temple, whether they were priests or Levites or skillful men or princes or the people. You know, you already read with me in Ephesians chapter 4, which every joint supplieth. Every joint supply. We have a lot of volunteers in this church that do a lot of different things, and when we pray, we constantly pray for you. Some teach, some clean, some mow, some handle the library, some do sound, some do music, some do nursery, some there's all kinds of things that go on, and you look at that and you say, "That's not a very big deal." But that's what your joint supplieth. And that's a huge thing. Recently we had a lady saved who's been coming here for, I don't know, 6 weeks. And her baby is not used to church and nursery, and so the baby's been in here. And you have heard how the baby amens my preaching a lot. I only point that out to say this. Don't you thank God for nursery workers? So you can sit here tonight and listen to one voice instead of two. You know, it's just really something when you hear a little squawk and you don't even remember what point we're on. Just that little bit of distraction can take you out of it. Now, because she's behaving, so she's doing well tonight. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll wrap it up with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm telling you, what we're looking at tonight is a huge comfort to me, and it's so instructive because it tells you from the top to the bottom, God is the one who decides how these things are done. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, we're right in the middle of a context concerning the body of Christ, but look at this in verse 18. Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And what do they do? Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And I love that. Because what that says is that you don't have to go out and get every, you don't have to go out and get every soul. They don't have to be a member of your church. What you do is you go do what God showed you to do, and then God set the members in the body as it hath pleased him, and he figures out where he wants them to be and who he wants here and who he wants over there and who should pastor that guy and who should pastor this guy. And you get settled in on that and know that God's the one that directed you here, and he set the members in the body that pleased him. Then you can just settle in and say, "Okay, then what is it that you'd have me to do?" And know that God had something for you in the building of his temple. And over time, he will prepare you for it. He'll show you what it is. It will fit perfectly. There is no schism. There's schism when people like say, "Well, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be a heel. I want to be the elbow. Because the elbow is higher and more people can see the elbow. And I'd like to have more recognition than you get if you're just the heel." And you try that. And that breaks with God's plan. And it doesn't work. I've seen that happen before, and it doesn't work. You just be content to be whatever it is that he wanted you to be, because he's the one that designed the building and he knows how he wants the people to be used in the building he designed. Isn't that wonderful? That's such a comforting thing. So thankful for the clear pattern that we see in the Old Testament. Perfect, perfect picture of what God's doing in his building. And my prayer is that we do what God wants us to do, give what God wants us to give, and follow the pattern that God has for Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Amen. Father, thank you so much tonight for such clear, clear instruction. We're asking you now to please bless these words and help us to be mindful of these things and to be prayerful about these matters. What things, in addition to what you have us doing now, that you may want us to be doing that we're not doing? What provision may have been given our way that you would have us to put into your work? And what is it as a person in your body that you have us here to do that we may accomplish that task to your glory? For we ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.